take my coat off and go to work. Acts chapter, no, I ain't going to work. Amen. First Corinthians chapter 14. This all led from the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2. But 1 Corinthians chapter 14, we've been speaking about the spiritual gifts, and we had talked about, we'd even studied them, you know, there in 1 Corinthians. And it led to what I call the misunderstanding of the word tongues. And I know a lot of you watch Jimmy Swaggart. I'm not against him. He preaches the gospel. They got some pretty good singing. Some of it's a little over the top, but they got some pretty good singing. I think a lot of people have been saved because of him. When I was younger, I used to watch him, and he had a great fall, but he got back up and went going again. And I'm not against that. I'm not against anybody that speaks in tongues. I'm not against anybody that says they believe in tongues. I'm just for helping people understand what the word means. And I've always been like this. If I have misunderstood what it means and somebody tells me the right way, I'm appreciative. I'm not mad, you know. I want to know what it says. And just like the study of the King James Bible, I wanted to know where they said it was inspired, infallible, and inerrant, preserved. I wanted one of those in my hand. So I studied it and studied for years. I studied it and already had the right conclusion, but now I have the proof to go with the conclusion. And that's the way I am about anything in the Bible. I don't have pet peeves or anything. Alright, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. We're going to read and talk. But in verse 14, he says, follow after charity. And the reason he says that in chapter 13, he says charity is the greatest gift. And desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. Now stop right there. We've talked about prophesying means speaking forth. Speaking forth. Spreading the gospel. Speaking forth. Now, Corinth, the Corinthian church, was an immature group of worldly Christians, and they were in a very worldly place. We take the Bible and we Americanize it. Don't do that. A lot of times you need to know the history of who he's talking to. Amen. The city of Corinth was a major city, and a lot of major trade, and all kinds of people coming and going from all over the world. So they were a worldly group of people in that church. And they were members who were really, because of their immaturity, their worldliness, and really their spiritual ignorance, they were abusing spiritual gifts. And he wrote this book. This is not an instruction manual on how to use these gifts. This is a correction manual on how they were misusing these gifts and how to use them. But a lot of people take it as an instruction manual. It was not. It was a correction manual. And if you don't read it slowly and carefully, you'll make mistakes too. Amen. And we studied how many of those gifts were for church and transformation from the age of law to the age of grace. There was no New Testament written yet. And so it was a church in transition from one age to another. And all these gifts, a lot of these gifts, Paul says, were for signs. They were for signs to the Jew. And so we don't go, he discourages from seeking gifts. To more about seeking the giver. But he even goes so far in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 when he's talked about the gifts in 11 and 12. He gets 13, talks about gifts of charity, meaning the greatest gift, he calls it. Charity means agape, which is, that word means the gift, the kind of love that gives away and asks nothing back. See? And so he gets to the end of that chapter. He said, have all gifts of healing. Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts. And yet I show unto you a more excellent way, he said in chapter 12, 9 and 13. He says, and now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. In other words, he's saying all those other gifts were given, but now as they're some of them's passing away, the greatest gifts you'll have is faith. God had to give you faith. You can't work up faith. You didn't know what faith was. And then he has to give you, now look, hope. You had no hope in this present world. He had to give hope. He put that in you. And then charity, that kind of giving love like Jesus did, God gave that to you. You can't work that up. So then he comes back to chapter 14. He gets back on the idea of tongues. Now, you need to remember we're reading the King James Bible, and it's funny how all these other interpretations will correct the King James Bible in every word but this one. Now, a few of them start putting languages, but the word, it's an old English word for language. I speak in the English tongue. You speak, somebody speaks in German tongue. But some people have taken that word and mystified it and made it into a mystical word that never was meant to be in the first place. It's not a spooky word. It just means language. It doesn't mean a heavenly language. It doesn't mean a spirit language or a spiritual language. It means language, period. So when you read the word tongues, remember, tongues, German, English, French, Spanish. Now, look at this. He said, for he that speaketh in unknown tongues speaketh not unto men but unto God. Now, some people say, well, I got a prayer language. That means God only understands. That's not what it means. Go on and read it. For he that speaketh in unknown, and remember that word unknown is in italics. It was added later so we dummies could understand it. It added meaning to an unknown tongue. That was the text anyway. They just added it. Speaketh not unto men, but unto God, for no man understandeth him. In other words, God understands all languages. So if you speak, if you're in a church and you speak a language that's unknown to everybody else, God understands it. Y'all see that? It's not a heavenly or angelic language. It's just a tongue that nobody in that crowd understood, but God understood it. I asked a lady that one day. She said, well, I got the gift of tongues. I said, well, I do too. English. Southern English. She said, well, this is a special prayer language. Special prayer. I said, God don't understand English? Why would you need to pray in another language? Amen. Amen. Now, howbeit in the spirit, he speaketh mysteries. In other words, it's mysterious to everybody around, but not to God. Verse 3, but he that prophesieth, and you remember I said that word means not foretelling, but foretelling speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. That's what you need. You need to speak something everybody understands so it can help them. That's what he's saying. He that speaketh in the unknown tongue edified himself. In other words, you go down here to the Spanish church and you get up and you start talking about Jesus in English. Well, you're getting a blessing. Ain't nobody else getting a blessing there. You're just edifying yourself. Now, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. Now, when you prophesy, it's assumed that you're doing the speaking, the preaching, and everybody there is the same language as you, see. I would that you all spake with tongues, other languages. I think Paul could speak four languages. And he never mentioned a heavenly or a angelic language. But rather that you prophesied. He said, boy, if you could speak a bunch of languages, that'd be great. You could go some places, you could preach the gospel, they'd understand it. He said, but you know, it would be better if you just get up and start talking about Jesus, start prophesying, foretelling the good things of God. Now, I would that you all spake with tongues, but rather that you prophesy, for greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret. In other words, he's not prophesying if he's speaking in a language they don't understand. But if he's speaking in a language they understand, he's prophesying. And if he's speaking in another language, he's got somebody to interpret it, then he is prophesying. And he can edify people. Do y'all see what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Some of y'all sitting there listening, Jimmy Swaggart, while I'm teaching you the Bible. I love the old guy, and if he wants to yama nama nama, that's his business, but it don't help nobody. By the way, I've seen them preach, and right in the middle of their message, they go, yama shana yama nama, nobody interpret it. Is he not doing exactly what Paul said not to do? If it was really a heavenly language, that is. Now, verse 6, now brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you? Except I shall speak to you in either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine. What he's saying is, if I come over there and I start talking to you in some other language, how's that going to help you? Unless I speak in the language you know, preaching and teaching and telling you about the doctrines of God. In your language. He didn't say unknown there. Now, knowledge, well, he said revelation. That's a revealing of God. That's revealing of the things of God, revealing of Christ. Something new to them they'd never heard because there was no Bible. Knowledge, teaching them things that they didn't know because there was no New Testament. Y'all see what I'm saying? And or prophesying, foretelling the good things of God, doctrine, teachings of the fundamentals and important things of God. Now, speaking in unknown languages doesn't do that. Unless you have an interpreter that can tell what language you're speaking. And he can say, Brother Ed just talked about the blood of Jesus Christ because he spoke it in Spanish and I understand Spanish. I can interpret that. You say, preacher, that's not what it means. Well, let's keep reading and find out. Look at verse 7. Even things without life-giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harp? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? In other words, a harp has a certain sound, right? A trumpet has a certain sound, right? And so here's the soldiers. They're out there getting ready to go to battle. They're waiting for the trumpet, and nobody's told them what the trumpet sounds like. Charge! So they just stand there. They don't know what to do because it didn't give a certain sound. So somebody jumps up in the church one day, and they start speaking in French, and there's no interpreter, and everybody's sitting there looking at each other and saying, what'd she say? What'd she say? What'd he say? What'd he say? What'd he say? So likewise, verse 9, ye, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air. Ain't that pretty simple? Who was it said that? John Rice, little Bible knowledge will ruin a whole lot of good preaching. Verse 10, there are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world. Now y'all understand that? So many languages, so many kinds of voices in this world. And none of them is without signification. In other words, just like you know a horn when you hear it and a harp when you hear it, you'll know these languages when you hear them. If you're that, you know, of that nationality, of course. You ever been talking to somebody and you look at the guy standing next to you and say, where'd he come from? What'd he say? I do that with people from Maine and Rhode Island. How are you? I said, I ain't never been to Hawaii. Did you pipe the kai? Do what? First time I heard it, I said, do what? Did you pipe the kai? I said, what? And his wife, her husband said, she said, did you park the car? I said, why didn't you say that? See, she needed an interpreter. She gave an uncertain sound. Amen. And look, therefore, verse 11, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian. In other words, I'm ignorant and unlearned if I don't know the, Suzanne went to, she's kind of made her own little trip for Olivia's graduation present, and they went to Europe, and it's, she's figured every bit of it, found hotels, every cheap. And, cause my wife taught her how to be cheap. But, she's in Ireland, and they did pretty good. The Irish speak pretty good English. But she got to France. And nobody wants to speak English in France. They're too proud. They don't want to speak English. They fought the English for centuries. They don't want to talk like them. So she's had a lot of trouble in France. And they're going to stay too, they went to Eiffel Tower, but you couldn't eat good and couldn't sleep good and everything, couldn't get a taxi. Well, those people weren't speaking in unknown tongues. They were just unknown to her. Y'all see what I'm saying? And some guy comes to your church and he stands up and starts talking in another language. Well, unless he's got somebody to interpret that, it's a waste of time. You can't spiritualize this stuff. It's simple, see? Now, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. Even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek ye that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. In other words, if you want a gift, why don't you get one that'll help other people? And these people come around and they say, if you got the gift, have you spoken in tongues? Oh, it'll make you feel good. And it'll make the hair. Well, he just preached against that. If that's what it was, and it ain't even what he's talking about. It's a whole made up thing. It's selfish, self-centered Christians who want to feel better than other Christians and say, I got something you ain't got. Even so, for as much as you zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. If you want, hey, if you walk in a church that's Spanish and you want to preach, say, Lord, you're going to have to give me the ability to do this in their language. See? For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. And that's not a prayer language. What he's saying is, if I pray in Spanish and I don't know Spanish, it ain't going to do my spirit much good. It's going to be unfruitful. What is it then? Verse 15. I will pray with the spirit and I'll pray with understanding also. I'm going to pray what I can understand. I will sing with the spirit and I'll sing with understanding also. Else what? When thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen at the giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest? For thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified, because you said in a language he don't understand. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. What he said. Yet in the church I'd rather speak five words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue to those people. Y'all see what he's saying? I want to do something to help people. Brethren, be not children in understanding. Howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. It is written, verse 21, in the law it is written, with the men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. In other words, they can't understand you. They're not going to hear you. Verse 22, wherefore tongues are for a sign. Not for them that believe. You see that? Why are they always doing what they call tongues in church? Those people already believe. Wow. But to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. In other words, look, preaching is the best way to go. Prophesying, foretelling. If therefore the whole church come together in one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelieving, will they not say that you're mad? You ever been to a place where all of them doing it? Yeah. It's a madhouse. It really is. It's going to get harder. Hang on. But yeah, that's... You got the gift, brother. I heard it. This one old boy used to say, who stole my Honda stuff and my Suzuki? But if all prophesy and there come in one that believeth not or one unlearned, he is convinced of all. He is judged of all. In other words, he gets under conviction. And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. The Holy Spirit convicts him of his sins. And so, falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. In other words, if you speak in a language he can understand and he gets convicted and he gets saved, he'll say, that man spoke the truth.
Amen. Wow.
How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Now stop right there. I've said it over and over in this church. This is not a karaoke bar. And everybody can't come in here and talk and do all... That's confusion. And that's what he's saying here. One of them, that service, one of them came in and said, I got a psalm. And then another said, well, I got a doctrine. Another said, well, I got a tongue. Another says, well, I got some revelation. Another says, well, I got an interpretation. He said, let all things be done unto edifying. That's confusion. That's not edifying. And he's going to explain that better. If any man speak in unknown tongue, let it be by two, or the most by three, and that by course, take turns, and let one interpret. Whoa. They don't do it like that on television.
That's right.
Anywhere else. No more than one. No more than one, two, or at the most, three. And they can't do it if somebody doesn't say, I can interpret what they're about to say. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church. That would stop most of the tongue movement right there. And let him speak to himself and to God. There used to be a man who came to this church for several years. He came, he was a wonderful man. He was raised Pentecostal, Church of God, wonderful man. He and his wife, he'd sit on the front row over on John Street every service. He came by every service. He loved me, loved my preaching, but he was raised Church of God. He believed in the tongues, but he never did it out loud. He'd sit on that front row and I'd see him, he'd be going, yeah, 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 yeah. I ain't bothered him. As long as he didn't interrupt nothing, didn't do it out loud. And his wife got mad at him. She got worse. She wouldn't sit with him because she was raised Baptist. She said, I'm mad speaking in tongues in a Baptist church. She got worse. She wouldn't sit with him. And he said, preacher, if you tell me not to, I won't do it. He said, but you know, I was raised this way and I get excited and it just comes out. And he said, I don't say it loud enough for nobody to hear it. I'm just sitting over and doing it under my breath. I said, well, if that's the worst you do, you're doing all right, I guess. he had no interpreter. He had nothing. But at least he was humble about it. At least he kept it to himself. And that's what he says do right here. If you don't have an interpreter, you're speaking another language, keep it to yourself. Verse 29, let the prophet speak two or three and let the other judge. In other words, everybody can't preach, but two or three can. You ever been in service where two or three preachers preached?
Yeah.
I have. Amen. If anything be revealed to another that says by, let the first hold his peace. In other words, do it decently and in order. For you may all prophesy one by one that all may learn and all may be comforted. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. And there you rub. I just can't help it, preacher. That's subject. I get filled up and it comes out yabba dabba doo. Well, that's not what it says right there. The spirits of the prophets is subject. You can control it. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. Now stop right there. Stop right there. I want you to think about this. These, and I'm not against these people. They're for Jesus and they're for the Lord and they're trying to do the best they can. I'm not their enemy, but I'm going to tell you this. Don't come in here and try to start something. I told a lady one day, she said, you believe in speaking in tongues? I said, no, but I'll tell you this. We don't have an interpreter anyway. Don't do it. But nobody in here can interpret. And they're not. How many of y'all can interpret it? And some people think you just get that gift right then. No, God don't work that way. Look here. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. And here's why I look at that too. If I go to your church and y'all got something that's not fundamentally scripturally wrong, and I don't agree with it, I keep my mouth shut. Billy, you remember Brother Jason, when we joined his church, we had to get rebaptized. Me and my wife. Y'all remember when y'all used to have to get rebaptized when people joined the church? Didn't matter if they had baptized already or not. And I told him, I said, because we wanted to serve, we was bringing about 60 kids to every service, and they were there, we had to stay. But he told me that. I said, I'll tell you the truth, I don't agree with it. I've already been scripturally baptized. And there is no rebaptism in the Bible. And he told me the history of the church, how people's coming from all kinds of denominations and all that stuff. I said, well, that's all good and well, but I'm not making my daughters do it. I'll give them the choice. And they chose not to. Me and my wife did it to submit ourselves. Now I told him I disagreed with it. I said, but now I'm not going to start a revolt or nothing, but I'll tell you this, there's going to be people coming up here that follow me up here and they will not do what you're fixing to do. And they won't join your church. And they're good Christians. They've already been baptized. And it wasn't, what, 2 or 3 weeks later, he stood up one night and he said, church, I need to say something. I've been wrong. This has been wrong. We've been doing this all these years, and it's been wrong. Well, not sin, but just wrong. Now, that's the way you ought to be in any church. If you got a disagreement with the pastor or people there, you don't cause a revolution.
Right.
Amen? And by the way, it's usually something that ain't worth fighting over anyway.
Amen.
Just sit there and keep your mouth shut. But why did these tongue talkers have to come into the Baptist church that doesn't believe in it and try to start a revolution? Well, God's not in that. But of peace, verse 34. Maybe we better skip that verse. Billy, you think we ought to skip that verse? Everybody else does. This is, hey, by the way, y'all don't know it, but this has already caused trouble in this church more than once. Yeah, it has. Several women have left this. Well, they never joined, but they, after they found this out, they just quit coming. You know, I mean, we've lost a whole row or two up over this. Verse 34, let your women keep silence in the church. Now, wait a minute, don't stop there, okay? For it's not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. Now stop right there. It didn't say, put it in its context, okay? The tongues, the unknown languages, somebody gets up and they say, I got a word from God, and it comes out in Spanish, they're preaching. They've taken a position of preacher and a position of authority to speak for God. Now, in the home, who represents God? I'm talking about homes not broken, of course, but you got husband and wife and children. The man is supposed to take that responsibility to lead that house. It's his job. Now, I know a lot of them don't. I know some of you've lost husbands, things like that, and it's just fell on you. You have to do it. But in the church, it's still God's way. Okay? Now, it didn't say they could never say anything, but we're talking about preaching, prophesying in other languages. Y'all got me? All right. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it's a shame for women to speak in the church. Now, it's not a shame on the women. It's a shame on the men that they won't. Yeah. The black churches, the men in those churches ought to be ashamed. Almost all black churches are run by women now. And now it's slipping into the Southern Baptist churches, pastors, assistant pastors, things like that. Okay? What came the Word of God out from you? Or came it unto you only? If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. But if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Don't argue with him. Wherefore, brethren, covet to speak in tongues. No, that's not what it says. Covet to prophesy, tell forth the good news. Forbid not to speak with tongues, other languages, not unknown. You hear? It doesn't say unknown. It doesn't say angelic. It doesn't say a special prayer language. If somebody comes in here speaking Spanish, we are not going to say you can't come here because you speak Spanish. If somebody gets in here and says, I'd like to say a word for the Lord, but I only speak Spanish, we say, is there anybody in here can interpret? And if somebody says, I can, we say, okay, help yourself. But if anybody says, no interpreter, I say, sit down, we don't have an interpreter. That would stop the tongues movement right there. Take the women out of it, and that'll do it by 2/3. More women do it than men. That's the truth. Well, me and my wife went to Church of God Revival one time. This woman got up, and she'd spoken unknown, and somebody prophesied the end of the world or something, you know. You make up anything to say you interpreted something that wasn't real anyway, you know. And then she got up on the piano and sang a song singing, I Hope I Make It. Well, it seems to me like if the Holy Ghost lives in you and is speaking some unknown language through you of the doom of Charlotte or something, that you ought to know you're going to heaven. Now, here tops it all off. Let all things be done decently and in order. This is not a free-for-all. Church is not a free-for-all. People don't like positions of authority anymore. I ain't nobody, but the position of pastor is the one to lead the church. And everybody wants to be in that position now. They want to be their own leader, you know. So they come into a little old church like ours and they say, oh boy, here's a little old church, not many people here, they're probably ignorant. I can take this thing over and do just about anything. And they'll try, they've tried before. But decently and in order, that's the number one thing. I've had people leave this church because I didn't ask them to sing. I've had people leave this church, Brother Fortune, because I said we're not using CDs to sing by anymore. Because it wasn't decent and in order. They'd plug that thing up and they'd get this microphone and put it right up on their lips and start singing like that. And the microphone, the CD, they'd lose their place. They'd say, start over. And I sit there and think, well, if I mess up my sermon, you're going to let me start over? If you mess it up 3 times, you're going to start over 3 times? Why didn't you just sing the song and not use the CD? And now I tell them, I said, we don't have a CD player because we got the best piano players in town. We don't need a stinking CD anymore. And he ain't going to let you mess it up. And he ain't going to start over. Don't ever start over. Just keep playing. That's an order. Don't start over. They say, I messed up. Say, keep singing. Because I mess up a lot preaching. I just keep right on going. But I'm serious. Done decent. How can you have 15 people yabba dabba doing and shumaka and naka and naka and miyaka chaka? Y'all feel that? How can you have that going on and say it's decent and in order? You can't have 25 interpreters. When's the preaching going to start? When's the teaching of the words going to start? It's self-grandizing, selfish, self-centered behavior, and a lot of them, not all of them, that some of them just taught wrong. Some of you were raised in Church of God. You know what I'm talking about. They were just taught wrong. But to go in a Baptist church and try to do that, let all be done decently in order. Somebody said, well, we don't have a program in our church. I bet you do. I bet you sing the same songs and the same, or at least a facsimile of one. If you didn't, it'd be total chaos.
Amen.
Now, I'm not trying to straighten anybody out. I'm just trying to help you, okay? And far as the women and the husbands and stuff, we'll get on that lesson later on. It's not saying that women cannot speak or teach. It just has position of authority over a man. All right. I know there's a lot of other stuff in there you'd like me to get on, but we're going to quit because it's 15 after and you're going to say I kept you out too late. All right. Let's stand. Get your hymn book. Turn to 34. Go and read that chapter over with that in mind. It's carnal, worldly Christians in Corinth that every one of them wanted to do something and do it their way, and it was total confusion.